Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We figured out what the problem is. The last time I was here to do a show was May 7th. 147 was blocked by a rock slide. So I talked to Sean a little bit. I said, boom. He said, take 61 out. So I take 61 out. I pick up 890. I go around to Brush Valley Road. I come down Brush Valley Road. There were four cars in front of me. And, of course, I'm going to make a left. All four of them in front of me saw the signs blocked. All of them did U-turns and went back up Brush Valley Road. I, of course, was the only one that made a left and made my way to Penn's Tavern, which, by the way, had a great crowd that night. We had a great time with the show. So here we are now, 15 days later. I'm back. And I want to go. I have to go to Scranton tonight because I'm a part of the contingent that is speaking. I'm really the traffic cop that's emceeing it. I will say nothing profound. I think people are used to that on this show. And there's been another rock slide, this time on 11. It's always where I need to go. Yeah.
By the way, Steve, during the 4 o'clock break, the regional director of PennDOT called, wants to know when you're going to be here next so they can get the road closed signs ready to go, and wants to know what route you're traveling.
Hey, I'm a disaster for this area.
You are.
I mean, I show up here, the rocks start falling all over the place.
Could be worse. It could be a dumpster fire.
Oh, that's the digital media office. All right. Yeah, we will. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. For the first time since Bobby Orr closed them out in 1970, the St. Louis Blues are going to the Stanley Cup Final.
Bozak lays it in. There's 10 seconds to go in the Western Conference Final. Seven remaining. And the St. Louis Blues, for the first time in 49 years, have done it. You can bring out the Zamboni. The Blues will go to the Stanley Cup Final and face off against the Boston Bruins.
When they went two divisions, the NHL had been a six-team league through the end of the 1967 season.
Absolutely.
And, of course, it was Toronto, Montreal, Detroit, Chicago, the Rangers, the Bruins. Those were the six teams. So they said, look, we need to expand. And they want to expand. They want to go west, which is what they do. So they put a team in Los Angeles, the Kings. They put a team in Oakland, the Oakland Seals, who then became the California Golden Seals. We'll explain their trek in a moment. The Minnesota North Stars, right. Natural to put it up in Minneapolis, St. Paul. They played in Bloomington.
Lots of hockey players, yep, in the state of Minnesota.
Absolutely. The Pittsburgh Penguins, the Philadelphia Flyers, and the other team they put in was the St. Louis Blues. So now they had a coast-to-coast feel for the NHL. Now, the Minnesota North Stars, okay, actually, I've got to take it back a little bit. The Oakland Seals became the California Golden Seals, who then transferred to Cleveland to be the Cleveland Barons, nice, and then merged with the Minnesota North Stars, who are now the Dallas Stars.
And that's how they got. And that's how that name Stars came to be in Dallas, because there, yes, was no connection. I never thought about,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's how they got there.
Wow.
Now the San Jose Sharks have taken the Bay Area, and they're entrenched. Well, the St. Louis Blues, even though the Flyers won, what they made the decision to do in 1967-68. Was they kept the original six together in one division, and the top four teams made it. They put the expansion teams all together in one division, the top four made it. The Philadelphia Flyers actually had the best record the first year in the West. It was East and West. But the St. Louis Blues won the West, and Montreal beat them in the final. The second year, the St. Louis Blues won the West. The Canadiens beat them in the final. In fact, they got swept each time. Finally, in 1970, third straight year, the St. Louis Blues win the West. They faced the Bruins in the final, and the Bruins swept them.
0-for-12 in the Stanley Cup Finals.
So now they're going to get their first shot in 40, because in the first 3 years of the alignment with the other expansion teams, they were the best. And Scotty Bowman was their coach. And, I mean, you talk about an all-star lineup. Red Berenson, Michigan hockey coach, was their top center. They had two aging but Hall of Fame goalies in Glenn Hall and Jacques Plante.
Yep.
And their broadcaster was the late, great Dan Kelly. Now, Dan passed away at the age of 51 of cancer. I've worked with Dan's son.
Okay.
Dan Kelly that you hear on BTN.
Yes.
Yes, that is Dan Kelly's son, the great Dan Kelly's
son.
And
where did Dan come from before he got the St. Louis Blues job?
Ottawa. He was from Ottawa.
Would have been in the American Hockey League at the time?
Yeah, and he'd done some fill-in work along the way. And he did some fill-in work with the St. Louis Blues because the two original Blues announcers were Jay Randolph and Jack Buck. They were the two original St. Louis Blues announcers for the first year. With the idea of, look, we're a new team. Let's get some local credibility.
Yeah.
Just like the Penguins at one point had Bob Prince is there.
That's right.
Play-by-play announcer. And
Mr. Pirate.
Right. Bob Prince was like, we got it, they got it, we got it, they got it, we scored.
And then, can I get an Iron City beer?
Yeah. So that's what they did. Well, what happened was, you know, when spring training started, Jack Buck had to go down to Florida.
Yeah.
So they needed somebody to fill in, and Dan Kelly filled in. When the season was over, Jay Randolph, and Jay was a legendary St. Louis broadcaster, did a lot of stuff for NBC Sports. Mm-hmm. Very good, classy on the air. The owner of the Blues brought him in. He said, hey, Jay, I want you to listen to this guy. And, of course, they're listening to Dan Stape. He said, that's what a hockey announcer sounds like. And Jay said, I think you ought to hire him, because he said he and Jack were both actually relieved they didn't have to
get,
do
get
it
out
anymore.
Of there.
Wasn't...
Well, you know, the,
can you blame him?
St. Louis really came in, I think, to the entire Stanley Cup playoffs as kind of the decided underdog, didn't they, Steve?
Yes. Yeah, they had the worst record in the NHL in January.
Yeah. They were like 14 games out of playoff contention.
They only had 34 points in January. Okay, since that point, they've had the best record in the NHL.
Yeah.
They're playing terrific, and they will be in the final.
So they've started this new tradition in St. Louis.
Laura Branigan.
Yeah, the Laura Branigan song, Gloria. There's actually radio stations out in St. Louis. They've been playing it nonstop, 24 hours straight.
Oh.
And they've done it not once, but twice. So they kicked it in starting last night. One of the stations out there.
They even played it after they got the Clarence Campbell Cup last night.
Yeah.
You know,
it turned into a locker room post game. When they win, they play Gloria.
Well, they exemplify that old saying in sports: it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
Yeah.
Well, they've done that. They finished beautifully.
Yeah, and it's going to be a knockout, drag them out, punch them in the nose Stanley Cup Finals with the Bruins.
No, this will be a physical one.
No question.
It's going to be a physical final between the two, which is fine. It's fine. We'll see how the Bruins are. Are they a combination of rested or rusty?
Yeah.
Because they've had a lot of time off. Look, you're looking for rest at this time of the year.
Oh, my gosh.
You are looking for it.
Legs get tired.
Yeah. And that's... Now, let's flip it to the other side. Milwaukee's playing Toronto. I have always said that the NBA will show me that it is what they claim it to be when Atlanta and Utah are playing each other in the final and people are watching in droves. You know, in other words, they've had in the final Celtics, Lakers, LeBron, Miami, LeBron, Cleveland. You know, Jordan and the Bulls, they've been getting, Larry and the Celtics.
Oh, yeah.
Magic and the Lakers, then all the way up through Kobe, Shaq, so on and so forth. But I said, it's going to show me something if they get to the point where Atlanta and Utah are playing each other and people are going, hey, Atlanta, let's look at the NFL. Carolina plays Denver in Super Bowl 50. Everybody's watching it. Because the NFL, does it matter?
It does not matter.
Who's playing in the Super Bowl?
No.
It really doesn't. It's people are interested. That's the way it is. And that's because people are interested in football. Well, now you've got a situation where Golden State's in. And Golden State does draw eyeballs. There's no getting around it.
Steph
Even without
Curry.
Durant, Curry's dynamic. They're a known entity.
Yes, they really are.
They've made themselves a known entity. But on the other side, you have Milwaukee and Toronto. Now, that series is tied at 2 games apiece. They're going back to Milwaukee for Game 5 tomorrow night. I will point out, in all fairness, that Toronto, because it's in Ontario, it is in Canada, is not a Nielsen-rated market for American television consumption. Well, this doesn't explain what I'm about to say, though. It'll explain a little bit of it, not all of it. The ratings for the Eastern Conference Final are down 48% from last year.
That's pretty shocking.
And that goes again to my theory. It's Milwaukee against Toronto. And it has nothing to do with the quality of the teams, but it has to do, I think, with the quality of the name recognition, which the NBA still needs. Because last year, what was last year's Eastern Conference Final? It was LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers against the Boston Celtics. Even without Gordon Hayward, without Kyrie Irving, it was still the Boston Celtics.
Playing on the parquet floor.
Yeah. I mean, so that's what, you know, which to, quote, old-timers.
Oh, absolutely.
Is a name brand that's important. That's why you hear on ESPN they're pushing everything in the Lakers all the time. The Lakers soap opera, the Lakers soap opera. What's Jeannie Buss doing? What's going on with Magic? Because the Lakers are a name brand. Because pushing what's happening with Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks doesn't move the needle for the casual fan at all. Giannis is on commercials. Giannis is a tremendous basketball player. He's on commercials now, but he, you know, he's like, oh, where'd he come from? Well, he's actually in his sixth year in the league. So it's taken him a while to get here and to get that kind of recognition. Kawhi Leonard is a star. No getting around it. I mean, you're talking about two of the top ten, let's be conservative, two of the top ten players in the entire league are out there, one on each team. But it's not enough to move the needle for the casual fan. Yes, Toronto is not a rated market. So I'm trying to be fair here about
this.
But that doesn't explain the full 48% drop. It might explain half of it.
Well, that's just an absolute significant fall off. And I think, Steve, the NBA trying to compete with the NCAA March Madness has developed the strategy of stars, the LeBrons,
yes,
et cetera.
Yep.
And
yeah.
And if you do that, you live and die by it. I mean, let's face it, Mike Muscala from Bucknell, one of the finest people I've seen play basketball, he's not moving the needle as part of the Lakers. No one's going to tune in to see if the Lakers made the playoffs. Hey, Mike Muscala's there, except the Bucknell faithful. It just doesn't do it.
Tim Frazier of Penn State plays for Milwaukee.
Yeah, not going to do it.
You know, people in this state going, when's Timmy coming in? I mean, you don't have that happening.
No.
I mean, it's interesting to me.
Sure.
You know, but that's, to me, this is a statement time for the NBA. They had LeBron in the finals for what? 8 consecutive years, 4 with Miami, 4 with Cleveland. Big. And then on the other side, and of course the Heat, because LeBron was there, you got Wade, you got Chris Bosh.
Yeah.
Going up against San Antonio. Well, San Antonio has Tim Duncan, and they've got Popovich, and they've got Ginobili, and they've got Tony Parker. Oh, and by the way, they had Kawhi Leonard.
Yes, at the time. Right. He also ran on that lineup.
And you had, in the end, back-to-back great series where San Antonio finally won the second one. Okay. Then he goes to Cleveland. Oh, they made the final. Wow. Then they won. They won. Like, wow. LeBron comes back. They won. And so people were intrigued by that. Now you've got Toronto against Milwaukee, and this, to me, is going back to my theory. In reality, how popular is the NBA?
Well, I think outside of the immediate area of, say, Toronto and Milwaukee, I think this series is going to be a yawner. I think, you know, in Toronto, Milwaukee, it's going to be crazy. Right. But I beyond that...
Again, it's how do you address the casual fan? How do you get people going? And this now goes back to... There's another part they asked Adam Silver about, because the ratings for the playoffs have been down, mm-hmm. period.
Yeah.
Have been down, period. Although Golden State, Portland, believe it or not, had a good rating. It was a four-game sweep. But Adam Silver says we may have to start adjusting start times in the West. Because, again, there has to be a the TV people in the leagues have to realize that 47% of the nation's households are in the Eastern time zone.
That's right. And, you know, there's nothing like watching Portland and Golden State playing about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Right. And that's the problem they're having.
Yeah.
So you're trying to watch Golden State play whomever, and it's a 10:30 start. Okay. Well, yeah. Guess what? I mean, I love sports. It's 11:15. I'm looking around saying, it's time to hit the sack.
Yeah, exactly. And you and about 125 million Americans are saying the same thing.
Yeah. Let's see.
Well, look at ESPN. I mean, they moved up the start time for Sunday Night Baseball up an hour to 7 p.m. I mean, they did take some rating decline at the beginning, but they're getting less complaints from players that then have to, you know, hop on a jet plane and then get to the next stadium for Monday night's game.
Yeah, Sunday night travel night.
Right, exactly. Okay, here it is. By time zone. Let's see here. Eastern time zone, I was right, 47%.
Right.
Central time zone has 33%. So in those two time zones right there, you have 80% of the population. 5%, 5.5% lives in the mountain time zone. 14% lives in the Pacific time zone. So even though you have Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, Oakland, Los Angeles, San Diego, and Las Vegas is in the Pacific time zone as well, and sometimes Phoenix and Tucson are.
It depends on daylight saving time.
Right. They don't change their clocks. But the Eastern time, I was right, is 47%. Central is 33%. So you have 80% of your televisions in the Eastern and Central time zones of this country. And you're adjusting all your times to fit the West Coast?
No. Not a good marketing strategy,
no.
Steve.
Mountain is 5.5%. Pacific, 14%. The Alaska and Hawaii time zones have 0.6%.
And, Steve, outside of Denver, those people in the mountain time zone,
right.
They don't care. They're in the mountains for a reason.
And according to, I didn't realize Danville had its own time zone.
They do. Well, it's 3 hours ahead of New York City.
Yeah, that explains digital media.
Exactly.
We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Brewers Outlet. Brewers Outlet. Brewers Outlet. Coors 30 packs, $16.95. Coors 30 packs, $16.95. Coors 30 packs, $16.95. Brewers Outlet. Brewers Outlet. Coors 30 packs, $16.95. Yeah! Brewers Outlet has Coors and Coors Light 30 packs for just $16.95. Get it? We got it. Pickles, ice, cigars, lottery, and all your beverage and party needs are a one-stop shop at The Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Okay, so I'm still battling a rock slide.
Yeah.
It's the
nice bumper music from Chicago there, Sean.
Very good. No, Sean, way to go.
Should I set him straight?
Yeah, okay.
This is actually Paul McCartney.
No!
Yeah.
Sounds like Beginnings from the Chicago
it
1 album.
Does a little bit, yeah. That's actually Paul McCartney.
Oh, darn.
That great episode of The Simpsons. Where McCartney's on, and Homer Simpson says, I love doing wings.
Great line.
The only person, the only character on the planet that would think that.
That was actually a Good Night Tonight from Paul McCartney.
Actually, okay.
1979.
Well, let's get Chicago Beginnings on a bumper music when you can.
There you go. Actually, Chicago less than a month away.
Down at... the Spyglass Hill Winery. I've got 8 tickets to go with seven. I'm going to have to find 7 friends. But
Spyglass Hill Winery.
It's just
Spyglass
over in
Ridge
Sunbury.
It's beautiful.
Actually, you passed the...
I know where it is.
They're having Chicago. Chicago.
Look, I've been here so often now lately. I know where everything is now. I know where all the rock slides are. everything. You know.
And Steve is registered to vote in Danville's 4th Ward.
And believe me, I've got some names I want to write in the 4th Ward.
Tuesday, June 25th, Bob and I will not be on the Steve Jones Show that day.
No, we'll be in line trying to get up to the winery.
In line? What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, in a line, long line of cars.
Come on, man, no.
Oh, we're going right to the front?
Heck yeah.
All right.
Come on.
You're walking.
Yes. I need the steps.
Well, what if I want to go?
We'll make it happen.
Bring Kathy.
What's your favorite Chicago song? Color My World?
Oh, it
Beautiful
has to
be. Sure, that's great. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, whatever you say.
That's a chick tune.
Yeah, that's what you say, sure. Final half hour coming up, brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final half hour of the broadcast extravaganza today. Our thanks to Chris Mack, who joined us in the show earlier. Bob Grove in the Stanley Cup Final coming up on Friday. Looking forward to getting Bob's perspective on the Blues and the Bruins. Last night, the Phillies lost to the Cubs. The Cubs have now won 5 games this season, which is number 1 in the majors, in walk-off wins. Now, the Giants last night won over the Braves. They're the only team with multiple games where they've come from behind in the ninth inning with multiple runs to win.
Ah.
Right, so I've done that a couple times. But when it comes to the Phillies, it's what, second and third, one out.
Right? No, no outs.
Nobody out. Second and third, nobody out. I don't understand why you're not loading the bases just to give you options everywhere. I'll go to the plate. It's a force out. I can turn a double play. Okay, maybe we give up a run. You know,
but it's only a tie at that point. Right. It's not a game winner.
But they didn't do
no.
that. And Javi Baez eventually drove in the winning run.
I think two runs.
Yeah.
No, one run.
Yep. Well, he drove in. Yeah, whatever drove the winner was, he drove it in. Okay? And I don't get the strategy of that. I'm baffled by it. If you got second and third in the ninth inning, I don't care if you got second and third and it's the seventh inning. I mean, can you work your way out of it? Yes. Does a sacrifice fly tie the game? Yes. I don't know how they were playing the infield. Were they playing up?
They were.
Right. I mean, you could. To me, at that point, you play up at the corners and you play double play depth in the middle.
Yeah.
You're hoping your pitcher goes out and bails you out by doing
I didn't feel good with Nicasio coming in the ninth. But
this is what you're hoping for. You're hoping for a pop-up in the infield.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Or you're hoping for a strikeout. Yep. Now, let's take it back to the bases loaded situation. If it's a bases loaded situation, a pop up in the infield is what?
Automatic out.
If it's second and third, nobody out, it is not.
It's advance at your own risk.
There's too many. You get better options with the bases loaded. I didn't get the strategy at all.
I think this is one of those memo to Little League and high school baseball coaches. Walk the guy, load the bases in that situation.
Yeah, I didn't get it. It wasn't as if I was putting the winning run on base. I'm not putting the winning run on base.
That's right.
It's the bottom of the ninth inning, so I've already got the winning run on base. What gives me the best chance to choke that run off? You may be uncomfortable maybe with the matchup afterward. I'm trying to find, what's the outlets here? Okay, what was the matchup afterward? Are the percentages bad? I don't know. Okay, so I'll at least try to be fair there.
Yeah. But as Bob Prince would say, Steve, it's, you know, time to get out the Hoover, which is his code for get a double play.
Yeah. Now, does it tie the game up? Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you somehow get an out before that, you can end the game.
Yeah.
Now, the base hit still would have won the game. I mean,
either way.
But I didn't like the strategy of it.
Well, you know, Steve, I think that brings up a fundamentally larger question. You know, we hear about analytics all the time. Is there something called over-analytics? You know, is there...
Sure there is. To me, this entire era is over-analytics.
Is it, you know, paralysis by analysis, as they say in government?
Well, don't bring up government.
I'm sorry.
We've got the king
bad
of the
subject
fourth
here.
War
yeah, sorry.
Right now, and
yeah, especially in light of the recent election.
Did he mention something about raising taxes?
Again. He raised taxes already this year.
I mean, how does he keep winning?
We have to start counting on two hands now.
Yeah. I mean,
how does he keep winning?
Yeah, as a taxpayer in Danville Borough, let me tell you, taxes have gone up under the suit regime, as they now call it.
Another thing that frustrated me with last night's game was that bases loaded chopper. Nicasio, I thought he'd get the ball to home plate a lot quicker.
We're down to an hour 48.
Oh, keep going.
We have knocked off 11 minutes on this trip.
Attaboy.
Just by sitting here and doing nothing. Just for I excel.
So if you leave here at 5:02.
Right.
Doing the math, let's see, you'll be there at
6:50.
Ten minutes to 7, you've got 40 minutes to come up with something to say.
Tons of time. He don't need that much time to come up with something to say.
I know.
No,
I'm only kidding.
No offense.
Bob, before you said it.
I know.
The first time I think about something to say at these things is when they call my name.
I know. I've heard you speak.
Yeah, you know.
I do know, and you're good at it, man.
Okay, Bob and I... Were you named Scout of the Year?
I got some award, but I was also I organized the entire Boy Scout dinner when we first met.
Right. And Bob and I sat together. I spoke that night.
Absolutely.
We had a blast.
We did.
Best of friends ever since.
And my cell phone went off. It was I was district attorney at the time. I always had my cell phone, and it went off. And Steve outed me to an entire crowd of 250 people.
Look, it's ad lib.
Yeah,
it's ad lib.
Yeah. The gentleman we honored that night was Paige Rasky, whose son was with you at Penn State.
Yes. Yes. And we had a great time.
Absolutely.
Great time at this thing. So now back to over analytics. Yeah. See, I am sticking with the conversation.
Lovely segue there, Steve.
Hey,
lovely.
Any topic, your show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, let's talk for a moment now. I've got a few things to say about the tax increase in Danville.
Again, the tax increase.
The over analytics. I think that's a good way of putting it. Now let me be clear about something, and I've mentioned this before. I am all for all the information you can get.
Absolutely, sure.
But I am not for living and dying with the information. I'm not living and dying with the numbers. There'll be certain moments you have to, and you say, you know what, it just makes sense to do it this way. I can see the numbers they show me. I've got that part. When I'm preparing for a game, I want to know the grades of the offensive linemen and things like that. Who's in the red when it comes to run blocking? Who's in the green?
Yep. You want to know what the free throw percentages are in basketball for the opposition?
I sit there and I do my own trends. I go through the last five box scores of each team Penn State plays and see, like, okay, you know, Mike over here is 12 for his last 20 from the field. Okay. Now, over the last five games, he's 12 for his last 14 at the free throw line. Oh, wait a minute. He's 3 for his last 14 at the free throw line. Something.
Absolutely.
Which gives the audience a trend and an indication of what's going on. So you want to use it, but you want to use it judiciously. I am still a big believer that feel and instinct mean something. Now, we are in an era where I don't think people are as comfortable with feel and instinct, and they've married themselves to the numbers. And I'm fine with that for this reason. to them, that's the best way for them to operate. I got that. But why is it that when you look at the highly successful people in this, feel and instinct mean a lot? Bill Belichick, feel and instinct for the game.
No question.
Sean Payton.
New Orleans Saints?
Right. I mean, feel and instinct for the game. I think Doug Peterson does some things that are off, that can, at times will be unconventional because he's got, you know, let's take Philly special. Well, guess what? You know what that takes to call a play like that?
A lot of guts.
The biggest game of the year? Okay? Alex Cora is somebody who came through an analytics system and was the bench coach at Houston when they won in 2017. Yet he doesn't manage the game completely by the numbers. He'll steal bases. Analytics tells you, stolen base doesn't have as much value. He has a conventional lineup. He's got a pure leadoff hitter, a pure second hitter, and he's got power in 3, 4, 5. You know, I think that the way hockey coaches put lines together and combinations, and then when you look at and in basketball, you can tell which players have a feel and instinct for the game. Now, obviously, you're seeing more three-pointers put up than ever before. It's a little different game now. But I think the ones that are just not comfortable with their own personal feel and instinct for the game, and I think Gabe Kapler might be one of these guys, will marry themselves to the numbers.
Yeah, and they're afraid to deviate.
Yes.
One of the great local high school coaches around the Central Susquehanna Valley, Steve, is a guy named Carm DeFrancesco.
Sure, yep.
Carm's been at Danville. He's been at Shamokin, Mount Carmel. He's now the head coach at Berwick. Which is, you know, you got to fulfill a Phil George Curry school shoes. And I asked Carm after a game down in Danville, it was a big upset, and I said, how'd you do it? He said, I went with my gut.
Yes. Now, a lot of people today are not comfortable with that.
No.
And I understand that. But if you really know, and it's ingrained as into you as to what the job is, you'll do that. And those are the ones that take a few more chances here and there. But they also know when not to take a chance.
Yeah, exactly. But don't you think, Steve, that one of the problems with coaches not going with their guts and following the script of the analytic card that they have is they're so afraid to be second-guessed on SportsCenter and be taken apart on whatever.
And what's the answer you're going to get when you're second-guessed? Well, the numbers say...
Yeah, you should have done this.
So, in other words, you already have the backup in place if it goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is... the fallback, because the numbers say. And that's a reasonable answer. There's nothing wrong with that answer at all. But that's when you'll hear that answer. But what makes sports exciting to me is that, think about it. Sports in reality, despite all the scripting of plays that you do, is ad lib. It's ad lib.
Basketball is a great example of that.
Hockey, basketball.
Yeah.
Football. Right? You know, part of the RPO thing is that the quarterback has to read it and ad lib it. Look at the times that Brady will ad lib something. Russell Wilson will ad lib something. Aaron Rodgers will ad lib something. Sports is, despite all the scripting and all the practicing, has so many large elements of ad lib in it. Obviously, what I do for a living in describing it is all ad lib. I can prepare all I want.
Yep.
Numbers. You know, I'm talking about analytics.
Oh,
numbers.
Absolutely.
Analytics numbers. But then going to practice, getting a feel for what they're trying to do there, why they're trying to do it, why somebody's moved up, why somebody's moved down, you know, what the other team does, what packages do they use on the field, who's their nickel guy, who do they take out, you know, and all the elements that you go through to get ready. But when it comes game time,
yep,
All that did was make sure that when it's time, I can ad-lib it in such a way where you try to make sense out of it.
Yeah, once the whistle blows, you're on your own.
Right, but that's what sports is. In the end, it's still ad-lib. And sometimes, James Franklin has a great feel for the game. Bill O'Brien had a great feel. Joe did. Now, the old running thing about Joe is obviously as time went with Joe, he had turned over the play calling first to Dick Anderson, then to Frank Gander, then eventually Galen Hall, Jay Paterno, right, on the play calling. Okay. In Joe's early years, okay, he called everything on offense and defense. He called all the plays. So that wishbone defense they used against Texas in the 72 Cotton Bowl, that was Joe. Okay? Now, later in his career, he's not calling plays, but he'd step in with, hey, look, I want to see this done now. In 2005, and the same thing happened in 2008, he called six plays each year. Right? In 2005, all six were touchdowns. Right? In 2008, five of the six were touchdowns. Because he was looking over and saying, look, this is there. Let's run it.
There was one I remember. Was it Notre Dame where he saw one of the cornerbacks cheating up?
Yep.
And he called the play. I'm not sure who caught the – but it was a touchdown, and it was a game breaker, I believe.
That was 86. It was Roundtree.
Okay.
It was Schaefer to Roundtree. He calls that play. They're playing Alabama in 85, and Penn State's losing the game. And he says, I want to run now. I'm going to use Joe's words now. You know, I'm telling you right now, we got to run the Sally. They're like, now, the Sally is that's a reverse.
Right.
Okay. So he said, we got to run the Sally. It's going to be wide open. He says, run the Sally. So they pitch it to Michael Timpson, and Michael Timpson breaks it. Right? He doesn't take it all the way, but he breaks it. Then, in the same game, John Schaefer gets hurt. All right? And they bring Matt Kisner into the game. And Joe told him, he said, all right, I want him to throw it here on a bootleg. They said, well, he's just coming in the game now. I think we ought to give him a handoff while he goes, no, run the boot. Boom. Kisner goes, takes it, rolls right, throws, Seierling, touchdown. Right? That's the feel and the instinct for the game that somebody has just by observation. You're prepared and so forth. But
that was not in the analytics playbook of the day.
No, it's not. But let's go back even to the Citrus Bowl. Okay. Trace McSorley leaves the game.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Second quarter, was it?
Yeah. Sean Clifford comes in. Well, did Ricky Ronnie and James Franklin have Sean Clifford hand the ball off? No. They went play action fake, and he threw it deep down the near sideline to DeAndre Tompkins. He couldn't have dropped the ball in there any better, but DeAndre didn't hold on to it. It was incomplete. But that's that feel for the game where, the play didn't work, but that was the right thing to call.
Yeah, it was the right thing. It was the right play. The execution, one of the components of it didn't work, but not for lack of trying.
Right. Well, I'll tell you right now, when it comes to execution and this show and me, a lot of people are in favor of it.
Yes.
We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
The most most enjoyable portion of the show for Sean Carey would be the bumper music.
He's the master of the bumper music.
Cinnamon Girl, Neil Young.
Ah.
I believe 1970. Maybe off a year.
Yeah, pretty close.
Pretty close. We'll take it.
You know, I'm sitting in the Mark Lawrence power chair.
You are.
I'm not feeling it.
Oh, it is the day after the primary. So.
Yeah, Mark is completely exhausted from that strenuous Election Day fervor of activity, especially surrounding a certain election up in Montour County.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about the congressional race.
You know, Fred Keller, who's going to be our next the congressman from this area going to D.C., is a Bucknell season ticket holder and a big fan of the Bison. And the reason I know that is he sits behind me.
Oh, there you go.
And, Steve, you would never know. He's a state representative. He's just a real nice guy, very unassuming, very a quiet fan. Mm-hmm. Not a shouter or screamer like I am. And he's just a great guy. So, you know, good luck, best wishes to him as he heads to D.C.
Yeah. So, yeah, won the got almost 70% of the vote, I think.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah. All right. So, Friday's show, Bob Groh is going to join us to break down the Stanley Cup Final. This will be among other items that we talk about on Friday.
Got a Penn State lacrosse game weekend.
Yeah, sure do, because that's going to be I was there, obviously, on Sunday, as people know, because we had Jeff Tambroni's, the interview I had with him on the show Monday. I saw a couple guys yesterday. They're excited about it, and they should be. Look, if they can do a great job on face-offs, ground balls, like the hustle stuff.
Yeah.
Because, look, in lacrosse, it's like in anything. It's all about possessions.
Yeah, it's a possession-type game.
And when Penn State was down to Loyola on Sunday, Loyola won 8 out of 11 faceoffs. So every time they scored, they were getting the ball back. Well, 18 of the next 26 faceoffs went to Penn State. And that's how you end up scoring 11 of the next 12 goals.
Yeah, and so maybe we can have Jeff back next week to hear the results of a championship season.
Jeff's the kind of guy where if you don't like Jeff Tambroni, you don't like people.
Yes.
Okay. Sean, you're the best. Bob, you're the best.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Sean. Sir. Yep. Have fun tonight in Scranton. Give our best to Donnie Collins.
Yeah. Sorry about the tax increase in Danville.
Yeah.
As always, tomorrow.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com. We'll be right back.